Let's bow our hearts before Almighty Yahweh. Our great, eternal, heavenly Father, the sustainer, creator of this universe, who gives us existence and life itself. We come before you at this time. We ask for your guidance in all that we do as we seek your face and as we seek to live by your precepts. We have a desire, Almighty Yahweh, one day to be with you, be with the kingdom that Yahshua is going to return with one day soon, that we might serve you forever. We pray, Almighty Yahweh, that you will bless all here, that each of us who seeks you will receive a special anointing, a joy, and a desire to walk even closer. We thank you for guiding. We pray that you will be with those that have a special need that have been mentioned on the prayer requests, and that you would touch their hearts, that they would know that you are our great eternal Father who has all answers to all prayers. We pray that now you will guide us as we delve into your word, be with us, and strengthen your people as we go out into the world, as we bring your truth and your hope to this world that is hungering for what you have for us and for them. We pray, Almighty Yahweh, now that you do this in Yahshua's name. Hallelujah. And you may be seated. Well, it's great to be back. We had a good trip down to Texas, and my nephew was married. He's happy. His wife is happy. They're in Jamaica being happy on their honeymoon. Well, the beat goes on. I'm just amazed. I'm just dumbfounded. Phones keep ringing. An hour after the telecast, ring off the hook. My wife was down there this morning, and it's one of the telephone operators, I guess you call her, and she said some lady called and said she had been with the world's largest church for 52 years. Heard her first broadcast, she says, "I'm leaving it. I now see the truth." You know, there's so much out there, so many who need the truth and want it. I don't think any of us realized it. Just last week, I skipped a day going to the post office. I went down there and could hardly wrench the mail out of the mailbox. It's just by quantum leaps and bounds. We're hearing from people. And it's such a blessing. You know, when Yahshua in Luke chapter 9 shows his 12, and then in chapter 10, we sometimes forget that there were 70 others that he sent out, kind of advanced men to the towns that he would visit. And he said in verse 2, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the master of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." I think that's a prayer we're echoing now. Prayer, it's very powerful. We couldn't live without it. Yahweh wants us to pray and seek his face often. I found this prayer somewhere on the internet. Thought I'd recite it. Not for, you know, a way to pray, but just for the message that it gives. It says, "Heavenly Father, help us to be forgiving of that lady who cut us off in traffic last night, considering she is a single mother who worked 9 hours that day and is rushing home to cook dinner, help with the homework, do the laundry, and spend a few precious moments with her children. Help us to remember that that disinterested young store clerk who can't make change correctly is a worried 19-year-old college student balancing his apprehension over final exams with his fear of not getting his student loans for the next semester. Remind us, Father, that the beggar who stands with his placard in the same spot every day, who really ought to get a job, is a slave to addictions that we can only imagine in our worst nightmares. Help us to remember that the old couple walking annoyingly slow through the store aisles, holding us up and getting in our way, are savoring this moment knowing that the biopsy report he just got back means they will likely be only one more year shopping together. Almighty Yahweh, remind us each day of the blessings you have given us, and remind us that we too will one day need extra special kindness and understanding from others as we take up our own burdens in this world. And let us be slow to revile and quick to forgive, as Yahshua, showing patience, empathy, and kindness, did to all. You know, prayer is something that most people don't know much about and don't do enough of. I want to talk about prayer today and maybe go into a few aspects that we've never thought about before, maybe never covered before. Physical fitness folks say meditation lowers your blood pressure and makes you feel better. You know, prayer does as well, but prayer does more. It's far more important. Prayer does something spiritually as well to each of us when we go to Yahweh in prayer. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:8 that bodily exercise profits a little. Yeah, it's good for the physical body, and it's wise to get your exercise. But what we do to improve our spiritual well-being is infinitely more important. And a lot of that comes through prayer. Prayer is multifaceted. It's powerful. It has a boomerang effect. You've all noticed it. You've all noted it. When you pray, it's amazing how it has an ability to change your own mood, to adjust your very attitude. When you go to Yahweh in deep prayer and come out of it, you are so much different than when you went in. You are submissive. You are humble. The anger you may have had suddenly disappears. You feel good inside. You know, that's nothing short of Yahweh's power in action, His Holy Spirit power. No wonder Yahshua spent so many hours in prayer. His last prayer in the garden before His impalement was a compelling example of fervent prayer and pouring out his heart to Yahweh from the very depths of his being. It wasn't just a few words rattled off and on we go. Many of the patriarchs spent time in deep prayer, often. We know the Psalms, we know they're made to sing by, but we also know that they're actually like prayers. The Psalms of David, Hezekiah, Asaph, the sons of Korah, and others. But when you read them, it's almost like reading their prayer. When you communicate with Yahweh, you draw close to Him, and He draws close to you. It sensitizes our conscience. When you draw close to Yahweh through sincere prayer, and like I said, not just words rattled off, you automatically move further away from the natural man into a higher level of spirituality, a spiritual plane. So does Yahweh answer prayer? I guess that's the question. We get prayer lists. We read one today. Many people seeking prayer, seeking answers to their problems and their trials. Does Yahweh answer prayer? Well, if you look in the scripture, first thing we notice is that the wicked will get a deaf ear from Yahweh. The wicked who have no desire to turn to Him can pray all day long without getting the response they want. Yahshua said in John 9:31, "Now we know that Elohim hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of Elohim and does His will, him He hears." There's the key. He does His will. He wants to do His will. So does that mean the guy who repents and turns to Yahweh and in prayer will not be heard? Of course not, because he's wanting to change and turn from the way he is. Proverbs 28:9 says, "He that turns his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer, shall be an abomination." So the sinful man will be rebuffed if he remains in his sin. The whole idea is, don't remain in your sin. Yahweh will hear those who want to change. And Yahshua said so in Luke chapter 11. I want to turn to James real quickly. We touched on this at the Bible study. James chapter 4 and verse 2, where we talk a little bit, or James talks a little bit about prayer, and he says, we were in chapter 4, I want to look at verse 2 and 3, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have, and cannot have, and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. Now sometimes you just have to ask. Yahweh needs to know your heart. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. You adulterers, adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with Elohim? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of Yahweh. It's just amazing that people still think they can live their lives the way they want, and Yahweh will bless that. We hear it all the time. He wants me to be happy. He wants me to be happy. No, he wants you to change. Submit, he says in verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to Elohim, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to Elohim. How do you draw nigh to him? Well, the best way is through prayer. And then following what he says. And he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. There is the key. Cleanse yourselves. Repent and turn away from that level of life that you've been living and find Yahweh's will in your life. Does he answer prayers immediately? I guess that's the next question. If you say a prayer, is he going to answer it immediately? Well, not always. In Psalm chapter 40, David said, I waited patiently for Yahweh, and he inclined unto me and heard me. Obviously, he didn't get an instant answer to prayer. Jeremiah wrote in chapter 42, verse 4, that he would pray to Yahweh for the remnant of this army. Remember, the Chaldeans had them, and they were kind of boxed in. And he said, I'll pray for them. Verse 7, we find, it came to pass after 10 days that the word of Yahweh came unto Jeremiah. Obviously, they were being tried. Yahweh didn't want to answer that prayer immediately. It took a while. They had to go through a few trials to see what's in their hearts. And our problem is we don't always have the necessary patience. We live in a culture that has to have instant answers, instant gratification. We want it now. We can't stand, even to stand in line. And I'm just as guilty. I look for the shortest line and I always get the wrong one. By the time I get there, there's housekeeping going on. They're taking out the coins and dropping them in, and I'm still waiting, and then someone has a problem with their card, and you know how it goes. But anyway, we need to learn to be patient. And, not cut in front of that car. Just wait 3 more seconds, he'll be gone, and then you can, keep everybody's nerves at the right sane level and just be a little patient sometimes. But we have a tendency not to want that. And when it comes to prayer, that's, we want an answer. We want it now. I'm tired of suffering. I want it now, whatever the issue is. Joshua said the answer to ardent prayer would be forthcoming. In Luke 18:7, he says, and shall not Elohim avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Sometimes, besides being delayed, sometimes the answer exceeds the request. Sometimes that'll happen too. And that's if your heart is right. Solomon asked for wisdom, didn't he? He wanted to be wise. Yahweh thought, that's a pretty good request. To be a leader, you need to be wise. And that's good for the people. It's good all the way around. So Yahweh thought, well, if this man isn't asking for huge amounts of wealth, he wants wisdom, we'll throw in the wealth. Because he's got the right heart. So he did. Not only wealth, but honor and a long life. 1 Kings 3:7. So it often depends on where you are, what you're asking for, and the reason you're asking for it. The disciples, they prayed for the imprisoned Peter. They just wanted his well-being, protect him. Guess what? Yahweh removed the shackles. The four guards guarding him fell asleep, and he walked out of prison with that angel. Angel lifted it up and says, we're out of here. A lot more than they asked for. And then often the request is different from the response. Moses asked to be permitted to cross the Jordan. He wanted to go with his people into the promised land. Remember? He says, I want to go. I want to go with them. But Yahweh allowed him just to look at the land from Mount Pisgah. You can look at it. You can look north, south, east, west. But you're not going in. Because you were recalcitrant when I wanted you to obey me. You struck the rock. And you're not going in. So he accepted that. Paul asked that a thorn be removed from his flesh. We think it was his bad eyes. Because when he said he wrote a big letter, it didn't mean a real long letter. It meant big letters in his letter. But he asked three times. Yahweh said the answer was no. Why? Because he wanted, I guess, to humble him, keep him humble, but gave him grace that he could endure it. With prayer being such a key part of a believer's life, it's essential that we know what's acceptable to Yahweh. What he does not like us to pray, but wants us to pray. You know, as children, like myself, we learned a bedtime prayer that begins, now I lay me down to sleep. And I remember 4, 5, 6 years old, every night saying that prayer, and then I drift off to sleep. It was the first exposure many adolescents got, and maybe still get, to prayer. And it's entirely right to teach a child to pray. But the auto prayer, the canned prayer approach, is not what the scriptures teach. Children should be taught to communicate with Yahweh from their heart. And many never advance beyond that, even into adulthood. They still pray canned prayers. I mean, they count the beads and the Ave Marias, you know, and all that. But they never pray from the heart. They think just going through the motions is enough. Yahweh's happy with that. Philip Hugh, and he's happy with that. He's not happy with that. That gets you nowhere. You don't grow. You don't advance. You don't go beyond where you are. And the problem is they leave that up to the priest, the ministry, or whoever. They'll do it for me. They'll tell Yahweh what I believe. Well, we're not going to attempt to cover all that the Bible says about prayer. It's just a big subject, and you can go on quite a while. But we are going to hit the highlights, I hope, and maybe we can come out a little more enlightened. What prayer is and the proper approach to Yahweh in prayer. Prayer is meant to come, as I said, from the heart, not from repetition, not from something learned or memorized. Yahweh doesn't want to hear something memorized. He also doesn't want to hear someone else's prayer. He wants to hear your prayer. When we recite something over and over, we risk losing the significance even of what we're saying. You've noticed that. Think about this. You say a word over and over. You ever done that? Over and over and over. When you were a kid, you say a word like word, 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 word. Pretty soon it starts to sound weird. You know, it loses the connotation of what the word means. And it's just a word. Say it 10 times fast and it loses its meaning. Yahweh doesn't want just repetition. Yahshua warned in Matthew 6:7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Kind of reminds me of Eliah and the prophets of Baal, you know, cutting themselves, jumping up and down, doing all these things, trying to get the attention of their mighty one. They want to hear. They think just, you know, reciting these things and the doxology. Remember one time in the church, the minister was going away. And he asked my dad to fill in. This is before dad was even in ministry. I think he was a Gideon at that time. But he wanted my dad to fill in. And I remember the day we got there, he announced to the congregation he wasn't going to go through the rigmarole. One lady afterwards says, "I am so glad. I just want to be here to worship. I don't want to go through all of this stuff." And the church we were in was just, one of the daughters of the one that's great at all of that. So they got it taken in at all that, and the Apostles' Creed and all that. Yahweh doesn't want mere repetition of someone else's thoughts. He wants you involved in your prayer. That's the key. That's what Yahshua warned in Matthew 6, 7, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions. The heathens do that." Repetition is batos in the Greek. It's a Greek root that means to stammer or stutter. Now, to Yahweh's ears, that's what he's hearing. He's hearing stammering and stuttering. Something that doesn't make a lot of sense. To his ears, that's what repetition sounds like. When he called repetition vain, he meant it had no point or purpose. Vain is from a word that means folly. You're wasting time. It's just foolish. Prayer is direct communication with Yahweh from our heart to his. That's basically maybe my own definition from it, but I think it works. Reciting a canned prayer makes the petitioner anonymous. He's just mouthing words and just a conduit of someone else's thoughts. Personality, that's each of us has, and Yahweh wants to hear from us. Interaction with Yahweh is the whole reason for prayer. Without it, you may as well get a book of prayer and just, flip through it and say, "Oh, stop right there. I'll say that prayer." And many people pray that way. I don't think Yahweh wants you to do that. By definition, prayer is a deeply personal talk with Yahweh. So, point number one, robo-prayer defeats the purpose. Okay, so how should we pray? Inquiring minds wanted to know the same thing in Yahshua's day. Having observed them in prayer, one of the apostles approached him and said, "Teach us to pray," in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. John the Baptist has taught his disciples how to pray, so they wanted to know. This was early on, remember. This is after he selected them, but they saw him, probably mumbling something in private, and, "What are you doing?" "Oh, I'm praying." "Well, teach us to pray." And so having laid this foundation, we can learn about the essentials of prayer now from Yahshua's response to the disciples. He taught them how to pray through his model prayer. Now, we hear it called the Lord's Prayer. That goes all the way back to the 3rd century. A church father called it that. His Lord's Prayer. That's a misnomer. Yahshua wasn't praying that prayer. He was showing it as a model how to pray. What to approach, how to approach, and how to, find an acceptable communication that Yahweh would bless. That's what he was doing. So it's really a misnomer to call it the Lord's Prayer. You can call it a model prayer, and really some of the translations call it that. It's a teaching model. The model prayer is made up of 7 parts. Interestingly, it follows the 10 Commandments. The first 3 relate to Yahweh, the first 3 parts. The last 4 concern the individual. It's the same with the 10 Commandments, if you've noticed, which begin with a focus on Yahweh and then switch to us. It zero in on us, and that's what Yahshua's model prayer did. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. And Yahshua then says, "After this manner, therefore, pray." Now, he didn't say pray this prayer. He says, "After this manner," in verse 9. Okay, I'm going to take it by segments here. Maybe we can get some lessons from it. He says, when you pray, say, Our Father, which are in heaven. Now, why did he begin his prayer that way? Stop right there. Let's clear up a misnomer. Again, Yahshua was not praying, and was not telling them to pray this exact prayer. But he said, pray along these lines and start out focusing on Yahweh. It's a lesson on how to approach Yahweh. It's how we should pray. And some, like I said, some versions say after this manner, pray. So we have good authority to do that. First, our prayers are to be focused or directed to the Father. Just like the commandments, they start out. Commandment number one, I am Yahweh. He injects himself into the commandments. Have no other mighty ones before me. Prayer, he says, Yahshua says, focuses first on Yahweh. So we need to go to him first, acknowledge him as the recipient of our prayer. And, that's how we should approach. And when we close our prayer, we should say in Yahshua's name. You could say by Yahshua's authority or whatever you want. We acknowledge that Yahshua is our intermediary. We can't approach Yahweh and expect him to accept our petition unless we have invoked Yahshua in there, because that's the whole purpose of his sacrifice, is to make us accessible to the Heavenly Father. That's why he's going to have a millennial kingdom set up first before Yahweh then follows 1,000 years later. Yahshua always prepares the way. In the Old Testament, he's the Dabar. He's the spokesman for Yahweh. Now, in his actions, he's preparing the way for Yahweh. So, while we're still dirty with unrepentant sin, Yahweh is not accessible to us. Yahshua said in John 14:13, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. In John 14:6, Yahshua said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So we have to go through Yahshua. We pray to Yahweh and through Yahshua and his name. Can anyone have salvation denying Yahshua? Someone asked that. They said, well, what about the Jews? Are they going to have salvation? You know, except if you don't accept Yahshua, you're stuck. We have to go through Yahshua. That's where our salvation comes from. That's what his name means, Yahweh's salvation. So we're still under the death penalty unless we turn, repent, and go through the blood of Yahshua the Messiah, which we're going to be commemorating here, possibly in 2 short weeks, as long as the barley is confirmed. I heard that some of the spotters over there found some sprigs. Got an email, and he was kind of surprised that he did this early. Well, if they're going to find a few, then, you know, a few days later, pretty likely they're going to find more, but we'll see. Without him and his sacrifice, we're still under the death penalty, and we have to pay our own penalty, which is our death, which means no salvation. So we have to go through Yahshua's death penalty. So Yahshua first focused on Yahweh the Father, because it's ultimately all about Yahweh anyway, isn't it? Not us. We're just an addendum to his creation. We're part that came after his creation. Probably, well, the most important part, I guess, but we're still only part of his creation. So Yahweh is the master, architect, and creator of the universe. We need to give him the proper glory and the proper respect. We're nothing in this universe without him. In fact, nothing can be without him. The verbal root of his name means to exist. See how important his name is? He exists, and so we exist. And that's what his name implies and connotes. Existence, the very verbal root. Some may ask, but isn't prayer a request we make to Yahweh? Well, typically it is, but like the first of the Ten Commandments, he has to come first in all of this. He has to come first in our worship. He has to come first in our petition. So we don't project ourselves first. He knows our needs, he says, before we even ask. He knows what we want. But again, he wants our heart involvement. He could just pour down tons of blessings. Food, gold, anything we want. You know, Yahshua at any time could have made a rock a piece of gold if he wanted to. But he chose to live simply with the people because his goal was to change hearts, not create wealth. See, the preaching today has it all backwards that you hear out in the world. But they're looking for personal advancement as well. So they preach that way. He knows our needs. So he deserves, before all else in our petition, to be recognized as our creator, sustainer, and all things in our life. We mentioned that Moses' prayer to Yahweh, that he would allow him to go into the promised land. Notice how he starts his prayer in Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 24. He says, O my sovereign Yahweh, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. See how he approaches Yahweh in prayer? For what Elohim is there in heaven or on earth that can do according to your works and according to your might? He gives Yahweh the proper respect in his prayer. Proper prayer includes essential elements of praise to the Holy One. Yahshua starts out his prayer honoring his father Yahweh. We know that the angels in heaven continuously praise Yahweh day and night. If we focus more on praising Yahweh in our prayers and less on the gimmies, we're going to have a better result. We're going to have a much more likelihood of being answered. Yahshua says, Hallowed be your name. That's the next part of his prayer. His name is holy. That's what hallowed, of course, means. Holy is your name. His exclusive name is his personal identity. It defines him. It separates him from all the others. It's so important to him that our Savior, mentions it in his model prayer right at the very start of his prayer. Hallowed be your name. How can you ignore his name? We hear people say that, and then they go and call him something else that isn't his name. We must clearly know and show who it is we're praying to. He has said he's jealous for his name. Mispronouncing his name? You ever had someone mispronounce your name? It grates on your ears. You want to correct them. Yahweh doesn't like his name mispronounced or misused or ignored. Is that for that reason matter? Can we ignore his personal name and say it doesn't matter when Yahshua puts so much emphasis on it in this number one model prayer? If he said he doesn't want his praise given to pagan images, then why would he want prayers offered in the names of those pagan images? Paul said there are gods many and lords many, meaning there's lots of idols so named, basically. If you know his name, you'll call on him by it. You'll give him the proper honor and respect. And that's just common sense. That's why names exist in the first place, to be called upon. Now Yahshua entreats, thy kingdom come. That's a critical part of his, quote, gospel message. It's probably the second half, you might say. He emphasizes it all the time. Gospel of the kingdom, or the evangel of the kingdom. Get your Strong's out and look at how many times that is mentioned, and people don't even talk about it today in preaching the Bible. Thy kingdom come. It's a critical part of what's going to happen to this earth. The Bible calls it the gospel of the kingdom, or the evangel of the kingdom. It's a centerpiece of Yahshua's message and teaching when he came to this earth. The other part is about his forgiveness of our sins. That's part of it too. And our access to Yahweh through him, through his blood. That's the other part of the evangel. But they miss this part. There it is, hidden in plain sight in the model prayer that everybody seems to want to give all the time. And yet they look right over it, right past it. Your kingdom come. If his kingdom's already up there and that's where we go when we die, how is it coming? See, that put two and two together and you get the essence of the truth. The believers aren't going up to heaven while everything is happening down here on earth. And rather, all those who are in the first resurrection will be here on earth helping Yahshua establish, getting this earth ready, cleaning it up or whatever, helping those that are left to find the truth. And after 1,000 years, then Yahweh himself is going to come down to the New Jerusalem. And this is going to be the center of the universe. Think about that. The headquarters, the capital of the universe right here on earth. It's amazing. Because the law is only going to go out to all the ends of the earth and to the whole of creation. Yahshua now prays that Yahweh's will would be done on earth as it is done or carried out in the rest of the universe. You know, the stars and the planets, they obey laws. Even though they're inanimate, they still obey natural law. There's still gravity in operation. There's still lots of different laws going on out there. Thermodynamics, laws of heat and cold and everything. They obey the laws. Yahweh set it in motion. He also gave us those laws and also spiritual laws to go along with it. The only part of his kingdom that runs counter to him is Hasatan and us. Think about it. The only part of the universe that rebels against Yahweh is Hasatan and rebellious human, sinful human beings. From the start in Eden, his standards were to be our standards. That was his will. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He taught the original parents his will to follow him, to do his will. That's what he wanted to establish here as an adjunct to his kingdom. And then he created this world. His laws are his ethics and his code of conduct, and they need to be ours as well. When Yahshua prayed, "Thy kingdom come," he verified that his kingdom will come to this earth so that Yahweh's will also be here on this earth and would rule the entire planet, even by force if necessary. This is what he expected from the beginning, until Adam and Eve decided to ignore his will and let sin destroy the paradise that they had been given, that they once had. And our problem is that we always seem to want our will to be done rather than his will. We approach him in prayer and say, "I want this and I want that." Yahshua told his disciples in John 4:34 that his meat, and that really means his food. Think about that. Think of the imagery. His food is to do Yahweh's will. In other words, that's his sustenance. That's what sustains him, to do Yahweh's will. It's just like how you need to eat. You have to have it or you die. Yahshua was obedient to Yahweh through his will and obeying his will, or he would die. Basically, I guess you could draw out the ultimate conclusion to that. Sin will destroy, just as it did the paradise that this earth once had in Eden. Doing Yahweh's will gave Yahshua spiritual nourishment, satisfaction, and strength. And it can do the same for us if we would just humble ourselves and allow it to do that. His will is to be understood. Find out in Ephesians 5:17. It's to be sought in John chapter 5:30. His will is to be lived. 1 Peter 2:11 to 17. His will should come from our heart. Ephesians 6:6. So prayer too often starts with our will. Yahshua reversed the order. Yahweh's will comes first. He knows what we want. But are you going to give me the proper honor when you approach me in prayer? That's what he said. That's what he indicates. Are we going to do what he wants? And that applies to our life as well as prayer. I mean, that extends on into our life. Do we do what he wants in our life? Or do we do our will? As with prayer, so with life. People expect to be given their desires. We become a gimme society. Gimme health, wealth, and prosperity. I hear it all the time. Well, what are you giving to him? Your honor, your respect, your obedience? No, the old law, that's been done away. You don't have to obey anything. I mean, how can you even... It boggles the mind when you think about it. The Bible is through and through filled with doing Yahweh's will, and yet people want to ignore it. Then he says, give us this day our daily bread. You can probably write volumes about what Yahshua doesn't say. The lesson here is that we should be satisfied with the necessities and not lust for abundance and expect Yahweh to give it. He never says, pray for your wildest wishes, and he will provide it. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 6:8, and having food and raiment, let us therefore be content. You know, all you need is a certain amount of necessities, and you can survive fine. Coveting something, and then expecting Yahweh to provide it, is just rewarding covetousness. It's rewarding greed. And that's not going to happen with him. Next, Yahshua says, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Do we think that he's going to jump at the chance, you know, to forgive us if we can't even have forgiveness in our own heart for others? Mark 11:25, Yahshua said, when you stand praying, forgive. And if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Forgive if you have something against somebody, and then you can expect Yahweh to do the same to you. In Matthew 6:14-15, Yahshua said, if you give others their trespasses, Yahweh will also forgive yours. But if you won't, or if you simply can't, neither will Yahweh do yours. The notion that I can forgive but I can't forget is not forgiveness. I can forgive, but I'll never forget what he did to me. Really? Imagine Yahweh saying that. Yahshua saying that. I can forgive their sins, but I'll never forget their sins. Whoa, what does that mean? What does that mean in the long term? What does that mean in salvation? I'm still burdened. I'm still walking around with my sins dangling on me, basically, because he's not going to forget them. Forgiveness means wiping the slate clean. Wiping the slate clean. So you ask, what does that mean in terms of my future if you're not going to forget my sins? It means going forward, when he forgives, there's no more strings attached. You can feel perfectly clean. And that's what we say when people get immersed. There's never any other time in this life, probably, you're going to be perfectly clean, completely clean of all sin, transgression, and wickedness in your life. It's all forgotten. It's all washed away. You see, that's what baptism is. It's a washing away of sin. You leave the old man in the water. That's the whole idea. And you come out a pure, clean follower of Yahweh. You don't go into the water and come out, you know, with still a bunch of mud on your fingers, because somebody won't forget. The next petition Yahshua gives has given scholars fits. Lead us not into temptation. What did he mean by that? Does Yahweh lead us into temptation? Why would Yahshua say that? James 1:13 tells us that Yahweh tempts no one. Was Yahshua mistaken? No. So here we have, at first blush, a potential conflict. And to get to the root of what he's actually saying, we got to go back to grammar school. Go back to the ancient language. This gets a little technical, so hang on. The meaning can go two ways. The phrase in Greek grammar is what's called negative aorist active subjunctive. Forget what I just said because it won't mean anything anymore after this. But what it says is, do not ever begin an action for the purpose of destroying. Periosmo in the Greek. And the connotation is of testing for the purpose of strengthening. That was what he was saying. Dokimazo. Yahweh does not test believers with the intent to destroy them, but to strengthen them. And that's what Yahshua was saying. Let the tests, the trials that we undergo, teach us to be strong in the faith. Teach us to be good spiritual witnesses of you. Give us the opportunity to prove our faithfulness. That's what trials are for. It's not because he doesn't like us. Why does Yahweh put us through this? No. Yahweh puts us through this to test us. He gave a message one time about testing metals and how metals have to be heated up, pounded, you know, till all the molecules line up. They call it drop forging, like making a hammer. They drop this heavy thing on there and everything lines up and it makes that metal twice as strong. It won't break normally. Trials are testing to strengthen us. You know, we go through lots of testing through our lives, and we think, why me, O Yahweh? Why do I have to go through this? Get the big picture. Someday, you're really going to be tested. If you've been drop forged and you've been tempered through lots of other testings, you'll be ready for the big ones. And you'll be a witness to Yahweh that won't falter at that time. Next in Yahshua's prayer of instruction, he petitions, deliver us from evil. Some versions say the evil one, or Satan. And this has some support because the phrase deliver us is an expression predominantly used for persons, meaning protecting us from certain ones. Also in chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, we have the first mention of temptation in connection with the devil, so it kind of fits. Then he says, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. So Yahshua starts with a focus on Yahweh, turns to us as the petitioners, gives us the right way to approach Yahweh in the right manner, and then he turns back again to Yahweh. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, and yours is the glory. He sums it up and puts it in a nice little package that fits all the requirements that Yahweh wants of prayer. And then he ends it. This tells us, with this ending, that Yahweh's purpose far exceeds our little penny-ante stuff here on earth. His is the kingdom, his is the power, and his is the glory. We are nothing, but we need to get in tune with him to be part of it. Yahweh wants us to come to the knowledge of truth. In 11. Yeah. Here, Yahshua tells the disciples in Luke 9:11, and say unto you, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread, now he's talking about believers, obviously. He already said he's not going to answer the prayers of the sinner, the wicked. And then he confirms it by saying, if a son, that means someone who is of your family, and he's talking spiritually here as well, shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Yahweh wants us to come to the knowledge of the truth. Yahweh wants us to succeed. He wants us to come in line with his teachings, his will, so that we can be part of his very family. He doesn't want us to fail. He doesn't want anyone to fail. He wants all to come to the knowledge and the glory. But not everybody has that heart. Not everybody wants it. They want it here and now. They want to go for the gusto now. Forget about the future. That is, until they're, you know, close to ending their life, then it's a different story. You know, it really is different when, as we mature, we look at life differently. We really do. And we start thinking back on all the trivialities of our life, all the things that happen in this world that mean absolutely nothing. We look back at all the different trials we had, the different struggles we had in the faith. We realize how penny-ante all that was. All that matters is getting right with Yahweh. That's all we're all trying to do, is get right with Yahweh. We do that through prayer, we do that through study, and we do that through communication with our Heavenly Father. We ask when we fail to forgive us, and we ask for strength to keep on going. That's the essence of life, brethren, the life of a true believer. And so may we all follow that path and have the heart to be one of Yahweh's own. May Yahweh bless you.